Thank you once again, Lord, for the goodness of the Lord in our lives. We thank you for all the blessings and all the wonderful testimonies that we have heard today. And we want to give you the praise and the glory. Now bless the people, Lord. Bless our hearts in the message of the Lord and glorify yourself. And give us wisdom and understanding concerning your word. We give you the praise and give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So this morning, I will be speaking on the proper way to pray. The proper way to pray. That's what I'll be speaking on this morning. And so let's go here. The proper way to pray. Now, Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. You know, and sometimes we refer to that prayer that he taught them as the Lord's Prayer. I don't think it was the Lord's Prayer at all. It's more for us. Because somewhere in that prayer it talks about forgive us our sins and so forth. The Lord didn't have any sins. Amen? Amen, people? That's right. So it is actually for us. But let's read it. And we're going to go into some things that I want to bring out here. I'm going to start here at Matthew chapter 6. And I will start at verse 5. Before we get to that portion, so-called Lord's Prayer, let's take a look at the other things that he said leading up to that. Matthew 6 and 5. Now when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. So that's the first thing that the Lord began to say about prayer. Now, we're talking about the proper way to pray. Now, Jesus said, he showed us here some ways not to pray. And then he showed us how to pray. In other words, he gave us some kind of a template of how we should build our prayer. And then we're going to look at some other things and so forth like that. So, when you pray, he said, be not like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues. You know, and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. There's nothing wrong in standing up to pray in the church. There's nothing wrong with that. But the motive in this case is what was wrong. Their motive was that they might be seen of men. See? So they are doing it to be seen. They're not just, I mean, if you're just spontaneously praising the Lord, if you want to stand up, you know, we don't try to hinder anybody to do that. You want to lie down, you want to jump up, you want to do whatever, that's fine. But if you're doing it to be seen of men, that's a different thing. And that's the one that Jesus was talking about here. So these people, they do it to be seen of men. And he said, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Their reward is that people already saw that they know how to pray. They are wonderful prayers. They know how to stand there and pray and so forth. So that's their reward. They have their reward. And Jesus said, well, that's not what you should do when you pray. But what did Jesus go on to say in verse 6? But thou, when thou prayest, enter thou into thy closet. So he's making a comparison about, you know, between the open show of prayer so that people can know that I know how to pray, I can speak, do long, wonderful words, you know, versus this other one that he's teaching. He said, look, don't do it that way, but when you pray, you go into your closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father, which is in secret, shall reward thee openly. How many of you can say praise the Lord to that? Oh, I love that. You know, you go, you know, you, and I learned that as a young man, you know, and so forth like that, you know, just entering into the ministry. I even learned that, you know, you spend a lot of time in prayer when you're preparing for, you know, like, you know, in those days you used to do healing crusades and so forth and all that. And I learned that, you know, you don't come to the crusade and be making long prayer. You do all those long prayer, you know, before. You spend hours in prayer before. And you come out and then you say, in the name of Jesus. And you just, you know, a few words and so forth like that. And then, you know, take care of business. You know, so he said, the Lord will reward you openly because of the time you have spent in secret. Praise the Lord. Now, here's another thing. So we've talked about, we don't want to be ostentatious in our prayer just to be, you know, to be seen. So Jesus didn't, you know, he dismissed that. That's not the right way. Now he's going to talk about something else too. This next thing is about vain repetitions. Now, I want you to take notice to these things that we are bringing out today. Jesus said, when you pray, don't use vain repetitions. Don't say the same thing over and over again and just use words as if God can't hear you and all that. You know, he said, look, as the heathens do, they just keep saying the same thing. They have this chant. They chant some words over and over again and so forth. You know, as if Jesus said, because they think they will be heard for their much speaking. Now, if you think that it's because of your shouting or you're speaking much or whatever you're doing that's going to make the Lord to hear your prayer, well, you don't understand the Lord at all. So that's what Jesus is bringing out here. I said, don't be like unto them. For your heavenly Father already knows what things you have need of even before you ask him. Amen, somebody. You should still ask. We already covered that, the subject of ask, seek, and knock. Not that you shouldn't, but don't you just be using vain repetition as if God doesn't hear you. You know, be saying the same thing over and over again, you know, and just repeating the same words. Now, that's not consistency in prayer. Jesus is not talking about you not giving up, because he already said men ought always to pray and not to faint. That's not what he's talking about. You can pray today about something. You can come back and pray tomorrow about it. You can give the Lord some praise and then come back and pray about it again. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about in one single session of prayer. When you stand before the Lord to pray, in that session, do not use vain repetitions in that one session of prayer. He's not talking about don't come back and ask for the same thing again. He already covered that, and we covered that some other time. So I hope people understand the difference. But during that session of prayer, don't just repeat words and say the same thing as if God can't hear you and just use vain repetitions. Now, if the Lord is really moving in your heart and the Spirit of God is bubbling inside you to pray and is leading you to pray, then it's not vain. But the key emphasis here is on vain repetition, because they're just saying it because they think that they will be heard for their much speaking. So a better way is for you to quote the word of God back to the Lord in prayer. Amen. That's right. That's a better way, because his word is never vain. So when you use his word, you know, when you find a promise and latch in on that promise and quote it back to God and say, you said such and such, and I'm believing you, let that word which you have spoken, let it be verified in my life. And when you begin to pray to God like that, that's a better way to pray that than just repeating things that, you know, that have no meaning. Praise the Lord. Now, and then he said, look, after this manner, therefore, pray. So Jesus is going to give a template. Now, it doesn't say you should be saying these words when you pray. Some people actually, when they want to pray, they will just read this so-called Lord's Prayer, and then that's it. Because they think that that's what Jesus said they should pray. Jesus didn't say that. He said, after this manner. He didn't say these words when you pray. But he said, after this manner, you pray. So he's going to give us a template. Now let's take a look at the elements of the prayer that Jesus introduced here. He dismissed some ways to pray, and then he introduced how we should pray. The first thing he said is, our Father which art in heaven. Yeah. So Jesus is bringing a relationship into the prayer. He didn't just say God or this and that. No, our Father. Make it personal. Praise the Lord. That's right. That was the one thing that was missing that Jesus came to introduce. People didn't know to call God too much about their Father before Jesus came. You know, they didn't know too much about that. You know, occasionally maybe Isaiah and somebody else said that and so on. You know, but people didn't really see God like that. And Jesus came to introduce that. He came to bring us into that relationship. So the first thing, although here that he's pointing out, is worship. A lot of people know how to pray, but there's not enough worship to it sometimes. There's not enough praise and thanksgiving to that sometimes. You know, and some people even say, well, I don't know how to pray. Well, maybe I should take a step back and just simply explain that. Prayer is simply, you know, talking with God. You know, sometimes we also have to let God talk back to us while we pray. We lay our requests to him and we spend some time to listen to what he's going to say. But mostly prayer is, you know, bringing our supplication, bringing our requests, you know, talking to God about our needs. That's really what prayer is. You know, now, so Jesus said the first thing you do is to say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, You can say that, but you can add a lot of other things to it. You can tell him how great he is. Amen. Now, there's one man in the Bible, his name was David, that knew how to do that better than anybody else. And finally, the Lord said, this is a man after my heart. Because he knew how to praise the Lord. He knew how to say, the Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my shield and my high tower. He's my hiding place. Hallelujah. You know, when you begin to pray like that, when you say the Lord is great and the Lord is this and that, when you begin to pray like that, pretty soon the Lord will stand up on your behalf. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, if you make the Lord great through your prayer, you make his praises to be great, and he'll be great for you. Amen. But, you know, like we heard about the limiting message, if you limit the Lord and you don't, you know, recognize how great he is, then, you know, what he will do for you will also be limited. So, you know, make the praises of the Lord great. Hallow his name. Tell him how great things he has done. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. The book of Psalms 100 and verse 4, he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Come into his courts with praise. You know, and all of this, that's how you come before the Lord. You praise the name of the Lord. You tell him how great things he has already done. You know, tell the Lord the good things that he has done and so forth. You praise him for what he has done. You praise him, and during the praise, you know, as you begin to praise the Lord, the Spirit of God begins to move upon you. So we see that that's the first aspect that Jesus introduced in the prayer. You know, don't come to the Lord because, you know, just come to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, do this for me, and off you go. You know, that's some of us pray like that many times because we're too much in a hurry. We just ask the Lord to bless this and bless that and keep us from this and keep us from that, and we run off. Well, God is not our messenger or errand boy. Amen. Amen, people. God's not somebody we just send to do this and do that. God wants worship. Jesus said in John 4 and 24 that God is spirit. And those that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And that the Father, in verses 23 and 24, he said, the Father is looking for those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. And the first line of that worship should come every time in your prayer, you know, that you begin to worship and begin to thank him for what he has already done. Then look at the next thing he said after the element of worship. Then you go into thy kingdom come. Now that's one aspect of prayer that is often missing. You know, we don't hear it most of the time. I mean, we pray, you can listen in on prayer line, you can listen in on prayer and so forth. You don't hear this part. This part is usually missing. What does it mean, thy kingdom come? I mean, people are not thinking about the coming of the Lord anymore. I mean, we're not praying about it. We're not asking, you know, that God, the Lord, you know, the Bible said, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We need to be praying about the kingdom of God, you know, that Jesus literally coming. But also, it means that the expansion of the kingdom of God, even here, that souls can be won into the kingdom of God. That's another way of looking at it, you know. And every soul we win into the kingdom of God, you know, that's one way of the Lord's kingdom also coming. Every soul we take back from the devil, praise the name of the Lord. That's another way of the kingdom of God. So we ought to pray about that. That should be a part of our prayer. And you notice that that's the first thing after the worship that the Lord brought in. And then he said, look, let thy will be done in earth, even as it is in heaven. You know, so we need to also begin to pray about the will of God. Not just so much what we want, but let his will be done. Now, there's something about his eternal purpose. There is something that is way beyond the little things that we want, you know. And we need to recognize, you know, what God is doing. We need to think about the kingdom of God, you know, and begin to pray, you know, for those things that God, that are uppermost in God's heart, like his kingdom coming. And the souls that are in bondage turning back to the Lord and so forth like that. And his will being done upon the earth. You know, you can never go wrong if you say, let thy will be done. Amen. Amen, folks. Amen. No matter what prayer you are praying, if you pray for the will of God to be done, you can never go wrong. Yeah. Thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. And after you do all of that, then you go to pray about your daily needs. Look at the next verse in verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. And there is a concept that the Lord is bringing out there. He wants us to come to the Lord every day. He wants us to have that daily contact with the Lord. He wants us to have daily dependence on the Lord. Jesus never said here, give us all the bread we need for all of our life.
Give us bread for a whole year. Give us bread for 6 months so we never have to come back and pray. He said, give us today our daily bread. Hallelujah. Because every day, you know, is a new day. And God wants you to have that personal contact, because the way he led you yesterday may be different from the way he's going to lead you today. Even in the same situation. We see that in the story of David. You know, when he went out against the Philippines, one time the Lord said, go up. Another time he said, don't go up. You know, you wait for the moving of the sound on the mulberry trees. You know, so we know that, you know, you got to come up to the Lord every single day and trust the Lord. That also means put in the Lord's hands all of the things that you need to do for that day. Commit everything into God's hands. Amen. The book of Proverbs chapter 3. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Verses 5, 6, and 7. I love those scriptures. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Whatever you want to do for the day, acknowledge him. Commit it unto the Lord. Commit thy works also unto the Lord. Another scripture says, and he shall, you know, give you the desires of your heart. He shall bring it to pass when you commit. Even your thoughts shall be established when you commit your ways unto the Lord. So that's the next thing is, you know, you bring your daily needs. You know, every little thing you could pray. There's nothing you cannot pray that you should not be able to pray about. Amen. Amen, folks. Every little thing, God cares about it. Every little thing. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. You know, you put it in God's hands and he'll do it. You know, if you lose something around the house, you can spend hours looking for it, but you can also pray and the Lord will guide you to where it is. Praise the Lord. I mean, these are practical testimonies. I've seen it all the time. I mean, you can scratch your head about something and you can pray and put it in God's hands and God will just do it for you. I mean, God is so good. Hallelujah. Put every little thing, it doesn't matter, big things, small things, whatever it is, commit it into God's hands. That's what he means by give us this day our daily bread. You come to the Lord with your daily needs. Everything you need for this day, you bring it in the hands of the Lord and you commit it to God. So we've seen the worship, the adoration and so forth when we start. We've seen us praying about the things of the kingdom of God and asking for his will to be done and all that. Now we see, you know, Jesus telling us about our own personal individual needs, whatever you need. You may take this time to pray for your family, pray for this, pray for that, and so forth like that, you know. And then finally he's going to something, a subject that's very important. In verse 12 it says, and forgive us our debts, even as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our sins. If you read that in Luke, it says, forgive our sins, for we forgive others of their sins against us. You know, so we need, you know, to pray about that also. You know, but the key point here is that you're asking God to forgive you because you are also forgiving others. Now, so if you don't forgive others, don't expect too much from the Lord. Because we see many stories in the Bible about that. Classic story in Matthew 18 about the servant that owed 10,000 pounds. And his master forgave him everything. And he turned around and found his fellow servant that owed him just a penny. And he grabbed one by the neck and put him in prison till he should pay all. You know, and the master wasn't very happy when he heard about it. And he said, you know, oh, wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt. Why shouldn't you also have had mercy upon your fellow servant? So he delivered him unto the tormentors until he should pay all his debt. And Jesus closed that chapter by saying, so shall my heavenly Father do to you if you from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. So we find that is a very serious forgiveness, a very serious subject. It should come in the prayer and you should pray. And if you have trouble with forgiveness, then you should spend a little more time and say, Lord, help me to forgive. Praise the Lord. The Bible even says that, look, when you bring your gift to the altar, you know, and you remember that there's an issue, don't leave that offering first. Go take care of that issue. That's how important it is to God, that you take care of your personal relationships and get that cleared out of the way. I mean, don't be religious and saying that this and that, and you can't take care of, you know, little things, you know, forgiveness and so forth, and making sure that, you know, there's no offense between you and your brother, or you and your sister, or you and your spouse, or whatever. Take care of that. So that's very important, you know, to help us in our prayer. And listen to this part. And lead us not into temptation. Well, you know, that's more like lead us away from temptation. You know, that's a better translation. Lead us away from temptation. Lead us away from evil. You know, one time Jesus, when he was about to leave, he prayed in John 17. Long prayer, beautiful prayer. If you get a chance, you read it. And he said, Lord, I pray not that you take them from the world, but I pray that you should keep them from the evil one. Praise the Lord. And every time I'm reminded of that scripture and that prayer for the Lord, I have confidence that the Lord will keep me wherever I go, because he already prayed about it. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, don't take them from the world. They still have a job to do. But keep them from the wicked one. You know, so we need to pray about that. Let the Lord protect us from evil. You know, look, there are some things that you just can't change. If evil is going to happen in a place, then you want God to keep you from that place. Amen? That's right. And wherever you are, you want no evil to come there. The Bible says, because you have made God your dwelling place. We've preached that also. God is our dwelling place. If you've made God your dwelling place, then there shall no evil befall you. So these are prayers that we should pray on a daily basis. Now, I tell you something, folks. I've said it more times than one in this church. If we spend more time in prayer every day about this kind of subject, Lord, deliver me from evil today. Less and fewer, we will have less, we'll run into less accidents and we'll have fewer problems during the day. If you believe that, you can say amen.
Amen.
That's right. I believe that God is able to protect us. And if you are praying and God, you know, if you're praying for God to guide you throughout the day, he will find a way to guide you throughout the day. Praise the Lord. You know, he's got all those angels, they are called ministering spirits. And he will say to them, you go down there, you know that my daughter just prayed this prayer. So you go make sure that that prayer is taken care of. When you pray about safety, you pray about God, you know, keeping you from evil, he will do just that. Praise the Lord. So these are some things we should be praying about. And then, you know, he said, look, then at the end, you come back and you round it up again with praises. For thine is the kingdom. For thine is the power. For thine is the glory. For you are the great God. You know, and I take some time to read some of the great prayers in the Bible. And I'm going to point out some of them to you. I have some of them listed here. I'll point it out to you. Take some time to read Psalm 18. You can read the whole chapter, but I will read just a few verses for you out of that chapter. And then I have a few other ones that I'll point you. Some great prayers that are in this Bible, you know, by great men of God, you know, like David and so forth. You know, Psalm 18, he talks about the goodness of the Lord and how he knew how to praise the Lord and what God would do for him after he praised the Lord real well. Now, Psalm 18, let's start from verse 1. I'm going to read just 4 verses. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. The Lord is my buckler and the horn of my salvation. He is my high tower. I will call upon him, for he is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Hallelujah. That's a song we sing like that. I will call upon the Lord, so shall I be saved from my enemies, and so forth. You know, and he began to praise the Lord. You know, and just read the next of the, you know, the rest of the verse and see what God did when he began to pray. You know, this man, he knew how to let God, I mean, he knew how to make God's praise glorious. And when he began to do it, like verse 6 says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. I cried upon my God, you know, but he doesn't just cry upon the Lord. He'll first tell the Lord how great God is. He'll tell the Lord, Lord, there is none like you. The Lord, I saw the Lord ride upon the heavens by his name, Jah. You know, and he begins to say these things about God. And the next thing you know, listen to this. He said, then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills were moved. And they were shaken because the Lord stood up on his behalf. You know, there went up a smoke out of his nostrils. Can your prayer make God do that? Can you praise the Lord and make God blessed with a smoke from his nostrils on your behalf? Oh, well, you need to learn how to begin to mingle praise into your prayer. It's not just prayer that makes God do this. It's the praises that makes God do this kind of thing. When you begin to tell God how great he is. When you say, Lord, there is no arm like your arm. When you say the arm of the Lord has gotten the victory. God hasn't done anything for you yet. But you begin to tell him how great the victory he has already wrought.
on your behalf,
then he will stand up and he will do that victory for you.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Don't complain and grumble and so forth. You just bless the name of the Lord. You begin to mingle your prayers with praises and thanksgiving and tell him how great he is. He bowed the heavens also. He came down, darkness and so forth. He rode upon a cherub and he did fly. And he went upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness and so forth, you know, around him. His brightness shone around him and so forth. The Lord thundered in the heavens. The highest gave his voice. And the stones of fire were kindled by it and all that. He sent out his arrows. Just read all of it. All the things that God will do in response to his high praises from your mouth. Hallelujah. One time in Acts chapter 16, Paul and his friend were in prison. And at midnight, they began to sing praises. And the next thing we know, hallelujah, God turned that from heaven, broke the chains, and set them free. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Listen to this in Psalm 118. Psalm 118. This is how you start your prayer, and this is how you close your prayer. You begin to put praises, the high praises of God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, he said. For the Lord is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say, you know, hallelujah. When you have a little family meeting, you say, well, let the house of the Adeyemi now say, amen. Amen, folks. Amen. That his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron, he said, put your name there. Why only Aaron? My house too. Amen. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. And let them that fear the Lord now say that his mercy. And he began to say all of these things. And he said, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that, you know, and he began to tell God great things. You know, I mean, when you begin to tell God things like that, then God will do it for you. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen to Psalm 99. I just picked out, the whole Psalms are full of all these things, but I just picked out a few just to show how you mingle your praises both at the beginning and at the end of your prayer. Here's some other things that the psalmist used to say. He said, the Lord reigneth. Yes. Let the people tremble. You know, he sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion. He is high above all gods and all people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. You know, and begin to just praise the name of the Lord. And listen to this in Psalm 93. You know, how he praised the Lord again. I just picked out a few of these. Psalm 93. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength. You know, wherewith also he has guarded himself. The world is established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne, O Lord, is established of old. And thou art from everlasting. And he just praised the Lord and praised the Lord and praised the Lord. And on and on and on and on and on like that. He makes the praises of the Lord glorious. Hallelujah. And when you begin to make the praises of the Lord glorious like that, the Lord is bound. We've read the story of Jehoshaphat many times. How he put the praises of the Lord ahead of the battle. They didn't tell us exactly all of the praises they said. They probably just began to praise the beauty of holiness. That's what we are told. But I guarantee you, they probably began to say, the Lord is a man of war. Hallelujah! They began to tell the Lord how great he is and how he can discomfit all the enemies and so forth. And then when they began to sing the praises of the Lord, they'll say, yeah, I'm going to show you a thing or two. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's right. The Lord said, I'm going to show you a thing or two. You think I can do great things? I'm going to show you how great things I can do. Hallelujah. Now, if you're sick, you're plagued with any kind of disease, you begin to tell him, the Lord is my healer. Yes. Hallelujah. The Lord is my glory and the lifter up of my head. When you are down, you know, most people, when they are down in depression, you know, they go, you know, Americans I've seen it on TV. You know, they go take chocolate ice cream and all these things. That's not gonna get you to more depression. What you need to do is say, the Lord is my glory and the lifter up of my head. The Lord, you know, have pulled me out of the miry clay. He has put my feet on the rock to stay. He has put a new song in my mouth. You begin to say these things even when it hasn't happened. You begin to say it. You begin to confess the word of God. And then God will stand up on your behalf. How many of you say praise the Lord for that? Hallelujah. Now, who should we pray to? We're talking on the subject of a proper way to pray. Who should we pray to? Many people are confused about this. Now, let me set the record straight here. By the word of the Lord, how we should pray. We've seen it, the pattern, and how we should do and so forth. But who should we pray to?
Now, Jesus began to tell the people how to pray. He said, when you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven. So he began to show us who to pray to. Now, I'm going to bring out some scriptures that may be a little confusing to some people at times and so forth. I'm going to straighten this out today so you know exactly how we should pray. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, in this same chapter of Matthew 6 that we read, where we took our text from, Jesus told them, pray to your Father that is in heaven. That's in Matthew 6, chapter 6 and verse 9. He told us that. But there are some other scriptures where Jesus said, ask anything in my name, and I will do it. And in some places he said, you know, ask the Father things in my name, and he will give it to you. And I'm going to give you all the scriptures, and then we're going to bring it out and see what the Lord is saying to us. Now, turn with me quickly, if you will, to John chapter 15. John 15 and verse 16. And I love this verse because, you know, of gainsayers who sometimes, you know, like to say that, why are you preaching? You've not been ordained. Well, Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I have ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name. So you see how Jesus is also telling us how to pray? Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So Jesus is telling us how to pray. Ask the Father in my name. Praise the Lord. That's right. You must ask the Father in his name. That's what he's saying. So let's look at these scriptures critically. How then should we pray? Well, let's look at a few more scriptures. Here's another one in John chapter 16, verse 24. Now, this one has to do, these scriptures I'm giving you have to do with using the name of Jesus as your passport and as your gateway to the Father. Amen? Amen. Jesus said, use my name. That's right. When you want to ask the Father, ask in my name. Don't ask because of whatever you want. Ask in my name. Praise the Lord. You come and say, Lord, because of the name of Jesus. Because of the name. Because of what Jesus did. Come, you know, you come with boldness. And ask in my name, he said. And he will give it to you. Listen to John 16 and 24. He told his disciples, ye have asked nothing in my name. See, they didn't know how to pray in his name before then. They didn't know that. You say, well, you know, he told them, look, he said, look, ask. He's talking about asking in my name. Hitherto you have not asked anything in my name. You just pray anyhow you want. That was the disciples then. He said, ask in my name and you shall receive so that your joy may be full. Can you say praise the Lord? In the book of Mark chapter 16, we're still talking about the name of Jesus. I want to show you also that, you know, that miracles, you know, if you want miracles, you want real power from God, it's only in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus said. The real miracles happen in the name of Jesus. In the book of Mark, chapter 16, we're told in verses 17 and 18. Let's read it together. Mark 16. And this is what Jesus told them, the disciples, when he was leaving them, and he told them all the things they should expect, you know, and so forth. Not only the disciples that were with him then, whatever he said to them, he said to us. You know, he said, what I say to one, I say to all. You know, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name. Hallelujah. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall even speak with new tongues. You know, when they take up serpents and drink and all of these things and so forth, they shall even lay their hands on the sick and the sick shall come. This all happens in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at some other examples of how he used that name. What does it really mean, the name of Jesus? Well, you can say, in the name of Jesus, you can literally say that. It also means in the authority that Jesus has given us to use. You know, if somebody is deputized, then they are going in the authority of that office. You know, if somebody is appointed to office, then they are using the authority of that office. If you appoint, you know, elected officials and so forth to an office, they can use the authority that the Constitution grants them for that office in that office, because they are so appointed. Now, somebody may not be there in person, like the United States President may not go overseas in person, but he may decide to send the Secretary of State. Hallelujah. And the Secretary of State will go there and speak in his name, speak on his behalf. And whatever he says, you know, that's the United States that's saying it, because he's there representing the United States. Now, the same thing when we go in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, Jesus said, look at the examples of when he sent out his disciples. He sent them out to do great things and so forth in Luke chapter 10. You know, he said, let me just read verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power. So Jesus commissioned them and gave them power. You know, he said, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and so forth. And you must do this in his name, because he is the one that gave us that power. And over the power of all the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now listen to this also. Let's read Matthew chapter 10 real quickly, verses 7 and 8. And I'll come to a testimony in the book of Acts. Matthew chapter 10. Don't forget, the subject is, how should we pray? The proper way to pray. Now we're talking about, in what name should we be praying? Now, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7. He said, and as you go, preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. This is all the authority that he gave his disciples. You know, so we can use that authority that he gave us. He said, heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. You know, this is more than just praying for the sick. He actually said, heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead even. Cast out devils. Freely you have received. Don't charge anybody for it. Amen. Amen, folks. Freely you have received, and freely give. So Jesus began to give them how to use his name to do these things. Now let's read a classic example in the book of Acts chapter 3 of how the early day apostles, you know, the disciples of Jesus, how they did some of these things. This is the story of Peter and John. And they are about to go to the temple, you know, to pray. And so we pick up this story in Acts chapter 3. We pick the story up like in verse 6. So they're going in the hour of prayer. They're going to the temple to go and pray. And as they get there, there is this man that is always in the temple asking for, you know, alms. And he's always asking for something, you know, from people that are like begging at the gate of the temple and so forth like that. So here comes Peter, and John is with him. And verse 6. Well, if you look the first few verses, he says, you know, this man was there and he was expecting to receive something from them and so on. So, you know, and Peter in verse 4 fastened his eyes unto him with John and said, look on us. So Peter told him, look at us for a minute. So the man looked at them and he thought they were going to give him some money, because everybody that comes there, they give him a little money, they give him a little thing and so forth. So Peter said unto him, silver and gold I have none. In other words, well, I don't have any money to give you today, but I have something that I can give you. How many of you can say amen?
Amen.
And look at the something that he can give the man. Let's take a look at the something that he could give the man. He could have given the man money just like everybody did, and you know, the man would just get the money and so forth like that. He would still be crippled. But Peter is going to give him something better than just handing him some coins. Most of the time people give their loose change. They don't give real money to these people. They just give them their loose change and so forth. You know. Now, Peter said, I don't have money to give you, but such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Now notice, he did not say in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. I hear people pray like that. It's not a single scripture in the Bible that tells us to pray in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. It's not in the scriptures. And I'll give you one scripture that confuses people. But here I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah,
yeah,
of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand. He lifted him up, and his bones received strength. And the man began to walk in and leaping and praising God. You know, there's a song we used to sing like that. And he began to leap and walk and praise God and so forth. And all the people were astonished, because they knew this man for years.
And when they gathered around, listen to what Jesus, I mean, what Peter said when they gathered around, you know, when they gathered around in verse 12, and everybody said, wow, we never seen anything like this. And Peter said, look, you know, why marvel ye and look on us as if by our own power we have done this thing? You know, to make this man to walk. And he began to tell about the God of Abraham, the this and that and so forth. But finally, in verse 16, he said, he talked to them about Jesus. He said, the Prince of Peace whom you crucified. This same man, Jesus. Hallelujah. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given this man this perfect soundness in the sight of you all. Now, that is the name of Jesus Christ. It's not in the name of the Father. It's not in the name of the Son. It's not in the name of the Holy Ghost. It is in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. That's the scriptures. You know, and then they told him, you know, they say, wow. And he told them so many things. And why is the name of Jesus so powerful? It's right here in the book of Philippians chapter 2. The Bible says that, let this mind be in you, starting at verse 5, that was in Christ Jesus. Who though he was in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took on the form of a servant, and became nothing, and even became subject and obedient even to the death of the cross. Hallelujah. Wherefore, in verse 9, God has highly exalted him and given him a name. God has given Jesus a name. Hallelujah. Now, it is the name of Jesus that puts the final nail in the devil's coffin. It's not the name of God. It is the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That puts the final nail in the devil's coffin. Every single time. And you know, he said, God has highly exalted. Look at the verse in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, that is the name at which knees bow, folks. It's not the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It is the name of Jesus Christ. That is the name by which every knee must bow. Hallelujah. God has appointed that name. Don't argue with me. Take it up with God. He's the one that appointed that name. He's the one that gave Jesus the name that is above every other name. That's right. Hallelujah. And that's the name that you must use. If you want real power, and you want real victory, and you want real miracles, you know how to use the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Amen. Can you say praise the Lord? You say, well, what about Matthew chapter 28? Well, this is the scripture that confuses a lot of people and so forth like that. You know, but I'm going to try to explain in just a few minutes because of time. Matthew 28, Jesus said, but notice also in Matthew 28 and verse 18, we're going to start at verse 18. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's in the name of Jesus, folks. All power is in that name, wrapped up. You know, the Godhead is unified in the name of Jesus Christ. It's wrapped up in that name. Praise the Lord. So go ye therefore and teach all nations. This is the scripture that confuses people. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. You know, and so forth. So, you know, this one scripture, you know, this is the only one place in the whole Bible that talks about this, the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And people take this and then they use that to pray. Well, even this scripture doesn't say pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It talks about baptizing them. But we see that many, many other scriptures show how people should really be baptized. And that is in the name of Jesus Christ. Throughout the book of the apostles, I mean the Acts of the Apostles, you can read it. Every single time they baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, and all that. And one time I was talking to a friend of mine from the apostolic faith group. And, you know, that ministry and group, a very large group all over the world, they believe in baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Because that's the way that the apostles did it. And they follow the ways of the apostles. They believe in all that. You know, and so forth. So this is not some strange doctrine or some strange thing like that. You know, it is the world that has brought the strangeness and taken away from the power of Jesus. Amen? Amen. The devil tries to do that, but that's where the real power is. So never mind about this one that says Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We're not talking about baptism here. I'll get to that in some other day. Not today. Today I'm talking about prayer. This scripture does not talk about prayer. So let's just nail that up. So the only prayer scriptures that we've seen so far talk about prayer. Talk about asking the Father in His name. Now let me read some other scriptures where also Jesus, you know, because sometimes Jesus interchangeably, sometimes He puts Himself in the place of the Father too, sometimes interchangeably, because it's really the same self, same spirit, you know, if you understand that. So let's read John chapter 14 and verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Well, you can make that argument that you pray to Jesus and so forth. Well, He wasn't really talking about that here. He was saying, whatever you shall ask is actually whatever you should speak in My name. So when you go out and say, well, let this thing be so and so in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus said, I'm going to stand behind it. And I'm going to do it because you're acting in My name. How many of you say, praise the Lord? That's right. So when we pray and when we speak faith into people, and you've heard it sometimes, we'll stand here and say, we're going to speak the word of God. We're going to declare faith into your life and so forth. In the name of Jesus, like last week, we declare some things and so forth. We always use the name of the Lord. And the Lord will back it up. Hallelujah. You know, we don't use our name. You know, we use the name of the Lord. And then the Lord will back it up. So that's what that means. If you ask anything in My name, verse 14, I will do it. Wow. You say, well, the name? Yeah, because that's the real name of the Lord, is the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Now let me close this. There's more things I can say, but I'm going to wrap it up here within a few minutes. There's one last thing I want to bring up. What is in a name? This is very important. Goes along with this message. What is in a name? You know, some people just, you know, like you young folks getting married and giving kids, don't just name your kids anything. Amen, folks? Well, the Jewish custom, names are very, very important. Names mean a lot. It's either the circumstances under which the child is born or something that's prophetic that they are looking forward to do and so forth like that. And even our culture in Nigeria, especially the Yoruba culture, is like that too. Names have a meaning. They're not just names that mean nothing. I mean, people name their children here in America green, black, yellow, whatever. You know, I don't know what those things mean. But, you know, you give a name, you know, to your kid. You know, in the book of Matthew chapter 1, and verse 21. When the angel announced that Jesus would be born, there was a meaning to His name. He said, thou shalt call His name Jesus. Hallelujah. Because, you know, He put an underline there. Why? Because He shall save His people from their sins. Because Jesus means Yeshua, which is the Lord our salvation. Hallelujah. So He will save His people from their sins. That's why you call His name Jesus. You know, so, I mean, and you know, if you want your child to be great, amen, praise the Lord, then you name them something great. You know, maybe they will be great. You know, but if you name your child Lucifer or something like that, well, I don't know about that, you know. So, I mean, people, don't just give any kind of names. Amen, folks. Name your child with the name of the Lord. Put the name of Jehovah. Put the name of Jesus Christ upon your child. And that name will go with them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And you look at people, you know, the names, most of the time names they are giving bear out in their lives. You know, and so forth like that. So a name is very important. And the name that the Lord gave us is Jesus Christ. That's the name He gave us. He said, that's what you call it. Now, let's take a full look at the Lord Jesus Christ. What does He mean? Well, there are some translations of Bible versions. I don't read them, you know, but like the American Standard Version or the ASV, I only read King James, you know. But one time, you know, I was on the plane and my little thing wouldn't go online. So he brought the offline version, the Bible thing that I have, the app. And he brought the ASV version. I didn't like it. And I said, well, okay, let me just see what they're talking about here. And I noticed that version, you know, they are, you know, everywhere they have the Lord, they replace it with Jehovah, you know. And, you know, everywhere. And you can truly do that. Every time you see the Lord in capital in the Bible, you can replace it with Jehovah, because that's his name. But you see that in the New Testament, you know, they don't use that the Lord, all capital, L-O-R-D, all capital. They put it all together as the Lord Jesus Christ. But it also puts everything together. The Lord, you know, Jesus said himself, you call me Lord and Master, and so I am. You know, so that's who he is. Now, Jesus is the Savior. We know that. And God, you can read it in Isaiah 43. Say, I am God, and beside me there is no Savior.
Amen.
So we know that that's the Lord talking there. And the Christ means the anointed one. So he brings it all together in that name, the Lord Jesus Christ. He puts it all together. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Now, so what is in a name? And in particular, what is in the name of Jesus? Well, Jesus declared and said, all power in heaven and on earth is given to me. So when you use his name in prayer, you have that whole authority that is behind that name, that is in that prayer. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, when you use his name also in situations, you know, and I tell you, you can use the name of the Lord, you can use the word of God in any situation. You can pray over it. I pray, folks, over the silliest things. And they're not silly at all. I'm just using my faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. One day I went to my backyard, and there, you know, my wife just planted some trees, and one of them had died. And she really liked that tree. For many, many years, we didn't have citrus trees. So she planted this tree, and it died. So I went out there. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. I stood before that tree. I said, well, in the name of Jesus Christ, through the scent of water, though a tree be dead, but it shall come again alive. And I spoke the name of the Lord. I pray for that tree. That tree is blossoming like any other tree in the backyard right now. Praise the Lord. Because I spoke to the tree in the name of the Lord. Well, I don't have any power to do it in my name. But because I use the name of the Lord, that tree had to respond. Because I tell you, every creation, every creature, everything recognizes that name. Hallelujah. They recognize that name. I don't care if it's a tree or anything. They will obey that name. And that tree is blossoming right now. Praise the Lord. He was dead, but he responded to the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I tell you, folks, you know, even those that are in the graves, one day, they will hear the sound of the trumpet. And the archangel, the voice of the archangel, he'll call them out in the name of the Lord. He can't call them out any other way. He's going to use the name of the Lord. And when he uses that name of the Lord, they will come out of those graves. Praise the name of the Lord. That's right. You say they will? Yeah, absolutely. So, what is the lesson that we learn from today? The lesson is, one, when we pray, I'm summarizing everything we've talked about now. When we pray, we should not pray like the hypocrites, use vain repetitions. We should not stand about just to be seen. You know, so that, you know, the Bible, one place, you know, Jesus was even talking about, you know, these people devour widows' houses. And for a pretense, they make long speeches and, you know, pretend like they can pray long prayer, whereas they're doing some crooked things in the back. You know, Jesus said, look, the eye of the Lord has seen all of that. So, that's not the way to pray. And then he taught us how to pray. And we saw the elements of prayer, the worship, you know, talking about the things of God, the kingdom of God, his will being done, and so forth like that. And then praying for our needs and our family and so forth like that. And then, you know, but daily, you know, you have to come to the Lord every single day. Every day is a new day. Praise the Lord. And then also, you know, asking, you know, for God to keep us from the evil and praying forgiveness and all of these things. We've seen that. And then we've seen, more importantly, how to use the proper name in prayer. Now, if you understand all of that, let's give the Lord a hand clap here this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to stand to your feet here this morning. The name of Jesus, so powerful. And when you mingle that with the high praises of God, you know, that's an unbeatable and unstoppable dynamic duo. You cannot go wrong when you lift up the name of Jesus. Jesus himself said, when I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, we're not debating about who the Lord is and so forth like that. We know who he is. You know, but you use his name in prayer. Hallelujah. That's how you get your miracles. That's where the real power of God is at. Praise the name of the Lord. And I'm going to prove it here in just a minute. I'm going to prove it here in just a minute. Now, if you want the Lord to do anything for you here this morning, you come with an open heart. And I'm going to pronounce over you the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to take that name for yourself too. And if you do it, it is yours, say the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So quickly, I have just a few minutes left. You want the Lord to do something special for you here this morning. Come quickly. And you stand here. I'm going to use the name of the Lord. I'm going to prove this here this morning. Well, you already know, week after week when we do this. We did this last week and testimonies galore. Already. Some of you didn't get a chance to give your testimony, but a sister called me last week. You know, she came to me after church, said this and that about a job. I said, well, don't worry about it. You got it. Exceeding abundantly already. You know, she called me during the week. She screamed. Said, well, you know, I got it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, so, and that was the one that Pastor Emmanuel was just telling me about. So, Sister Nick, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Come up here. Come up here and take the mic.
What the Lord has done for me, I cannot tell it all. What the Lord has done for me, I cannot tell it all. He saved me and washed me in His blood. Oh, I can shout hallelujah. I can shout hallelujah. I can shout praise the Lord. Oh, I can shout hallelujah. I can shout hallelujah. I can shout praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Father, I honor you.
Amen.
You have all my glory.
Amen.
You have all my adoration.
Amen.
Father, my family worship you.
Amen.
You say that you receive all the glory.
Amen.
You are one, you are grace. There is none like unto you. You are the only one we God and we answer. Father, we honor you.
Amen. Hallelujah. I thought you wanted to say something.
I got a job.
Praise the Lord.
My God has done it for so many years. I came here. So many of you know my story. And He has done it. He has done it.
Amen.
He is a faithful God.
Amen.
I went to for an interview, like Pastor said. I told him, Pastor, I have an interview. And he said, oh, you got it.
Amen.
And God stood to His name.
Amen.
I got offered the job on the spot.
Amen.
It was the best day ever. I don't know how He did, but I want to say thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
I want to honor His name.
Amen.
But He, whatever He started, I know He's a prophet.
Amen. Amen.
Blessed be the name.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you for that praise, exaltation. Now, I'm going to use the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, you came out here because you trust in that name.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says, trust you in the Lord Jehovah.
Amen.
For in His name is everlasting strength.
Yes, yes.
Well, I tell you, though, you know, that's Old Testament and so forth. But, you know, He gave us a new name. He said, we write upon Him a new name. Yeah, He gave us a new name in the New Testament. It's called the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That whole power in heaven and on earth is wrapped up in that name. The Godhead is unified in that name. If you use that name, you can never go wrong.
Amen.
Now, I am going to use that name today. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, lift your hands. You already have faith. I'm not going to ask you to have faith. If you didn't have faith, you wouldn't be standing here. So you already have faith. And you already believe in your heart. But I am going to speak the name of the Lord. Now, I stand in the name of the Lord as a minister of the gospel. And I proclaim over you the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I say, you know, the Bible said, Jesus said it himself, anything that you shall ask in my name, especially when you can get somebody else to agree with you, I will do it. Now, you and me, that's two. That's enough. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You don't need anybody else. You just need one person to agree with you. That's why it is so powerful when you come into agreement with your spouse. It is so powerful. Praise the Lord. So I am going to agree with each one of you. Whatever it is that you are believing God for, I agree with you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I agree with you.
Amen.
And I declare and decree that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be a banner over you.
Amen.
Remember, the name of the Lord is a strong tower.
Yes.
Oh my. The name of the Lord is even beyond strong. You know, sometimes we don't even have the adjectives to describe the name of the Lord. You know, he's greater than the greatest. He's higher than the highest. Praise the Lord. And don't you ever put a limit to his name. Because all power in heaven and in earth is given unto his name. But you must patiently wait for the Lord. The psalmist said, I patiently waited for the Lord. You must patiently wait for the Lord. But I declare and decree that this week, if I can get somebody to say amen.
Amen.
The Lord can do it in 1 week.
Yes,
he can do it in 1 second.
Yes,
I mean, the sister said, I got the job on the spot.
Yes.
It doesn't make the Lord any difference. He can do it just like that.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Because before, look, let me tell you something. If you really understand the Lord, before, you know, the Bible says, look, the preparation of the heart and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord.
Yes,
when the thing is even in your heart, it already came from God. Before you even spoke it out, God already knew about it. He's already set his angel ahead of you. That great angel that has led you by the way, he will go ahead of you this week. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Instantaneous miracles. And you will come back and give glory to God. You will come back, not glory to the pastor, you will come back and give glory to Jesus Christ. Because he's the one that can do it. Give the Lord a hand clap, everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I use the name of the Lord this morning to break down every chain and every shackle. The things that have been holding you back. You know, this morning during the prayer session, we heard about generational curses and so on. And I'm like, for the children of God, the Bible says, he has broken the gates of brass. He has cut asunder the bars of iron. You should not be held back by anything.
Yes,
and sometimes, you know, one time the Lord, he showed, I was praying and I saw, you know, God showed me somebody's hands trying to cover some flames. Well, it was the devil, but he can't do it. Amen.
Amen.
He showed me one time too, you know, the devil took out a contract. He tried to write something and every time I looked, he wrote it and it was nothing was there. And the Lord said, void.
Amen.
We are prohibited by the law of liberty.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the devil, he took out a contract on some of you, but it is void.
Amen.
It is void because it is prohibited by the law of liberty.
Amen.
There is nothing that you can do in the state of the land, I mean, the land that is, valid if it is contrary to the law. Amen. You can write a contract, but it's contrary to the law, it's invalid. Amen.
Amen.
So it's every contract that the devil has taken out against you. It is void.
Yeah.
And it is invalid.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now the name of Jesus Christ give you victory on every side.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I want the praise team to come back up again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're going to sing that name of Jesus Christ one time again. And you can use this opportunity to give your offering. And during that time, lift up your voice and lift up your faith in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
If you can use that name and you can unite under it in faith, you can have whatsoever you will. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus. Highly. lifted up. Whatever you want this week, whatever you want, the Lord is going to do for you. The name of Jesus is highly lifted up. Anytime during this song, feel free, you can bring your offering. We're going to believe God. And believe the Lord with all your heart. Believe the Lord with all your heart, the Bible says, and so shall you be established. Believe also his ministers, and so shall you prosper. Amen. Amen, folks. Amen. You got to believe these things in order for it to do something for you in your life. The name of Jesus, highly lifted up.